This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The great Jerry Brooks joining us here in studio, former colleague of mine, mentor of mine.
That speaks volumes, doesn't it?
About you or me, I'm not sure. No, I learned a lot from you and Joanne and Kevin. I really think that if I had fallen in line with people who cared less about the important stuff, I probably would have cared less about the important stuff.
Never care less about the important stuff.
No, but I mean, like, you were very much focused on writing and getting it right instead of getting it necessarily the fastest. And, you know, if you're first and you're wrong,
what good is it?
What's the point? I have a bunch of stuff I want to touch on. Since, you know, we talked about, you know, I started in the fall of 02 at NBC 30 or WVIT, now NBC Connecticut.
It's had a lot of names, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. Yeah. A little brand confusion.
I have T-shirts with every brand on it.
Yes. You should make one of those
into
blankets.
A quilt. Yeah.
Yeah, those are awesome. I would love that. I talked to John Senecal late last week about on air about Tom Monahan, and I didn't have a lot of interaction with Monahan. He didn't spend a lot of time in the building, right? He just and he obviously was covering politics, and at that time in my career, I didn't spend a ton of time focusing on the government side of things here. You worked with him dating back to the 70s.
Yeah, Tom Monahan was honestly one of a kind. What a great guy, a great friend. He was the weekend anchor when I did weekend sports.
No.
In, I don't know, 76, 78, something like that. And I did three jobs at once at the same. I worked 7 days a week for 2 years. I did WPOP. I think I could say that.
Yeah, sure. No problem.
In the morning. And then I did a Monday night CPTV show out of Fairfield for some reason.
Wow.
And I did weekend sports at 30. And those were the days where they had the wraparound lavalier mic. You had to wrap a cord around your neck. And yeah, the thing weighed like 5 pounds. He just took me almost, you know, virtually by the hand and walked me through everything. And he took a very scared kid and made me pretty comfortable on TV with him. He was just a joy to work with. And then I disappeared to Channel 3 for 14 years and went back to 30 in 1993. And Tom was still there and the receptionist was still there. And so little had changed. But, you know, he was just a constant in all of our lives. And I got a message from his wife, Nancy, last Sunday, a week ago Sunday, saying, please call me. And, you know, I thought that can only mean one thing. Mm. And it was.
How were the services?
The services were just lovely. The turnout at his visitation or wake, whatever you want to call it, was just huge. And the next day, the funeral mass was truly lovely. And, you know, I do want to call out former Governor Roland came to the funeral, and everybody, the family didn't expect him. He just came on his own. Mm. And I'm sure, you know, if they had known, they would have asked him to speak. And Senator Blumenthal, and, you know, we give him, you know, we
deserve sometimes.
Well,
yeah,
you know,
give him a little flack.
He likes his airtime.
Yes, he does.
But, you know, he came to both the wake and stayed.
Yeah.
It wasn't a hit and run.
Yeah.
And then he came to the funeral the next morning as well. Because, you know, and we chatted, and you know, he just acknowledged how much Tom meant to him and all of us. Yeah. And I really, you know, just totally respected, you know, the fact that he did both, and he just didn't have to.
Yeah.
It was just out of respect to Tom.
You know, what's guys like Monahan, and I think you too, I mean, the modern media landscape. And it's true, like, with at our place, like, Ray and Bob Steele.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean, I know it sounds cliche, but, like, you don't replace that kind of institutional knowledge. It's not replaceable, and especially with, like, Hartford and the media market, really, in many ways, for many, it's a stepping stone. And although there are some people who are younger than you and me who have stayed here for a long time, I just feel like that person who covers the Capitol for 20 years or something like that's just not going to happen again.
No, and, you know, Tom was part of a triumvirate of TV news Capitol reporters.
Brett,
you know,
Davis.
Tom, Mark Davis Mark at Davis. 8, and Doobie McDowell at Channel 3. And they just covered the hell out of the place. They were friendly but competitive, and, you know, the coverage out of the Capitol was fabulous for a long, long time.
It was. We're talking with Jerry Brooks here on Ryan & Company. Listen, I want to ask you, and I don't know how to approach this, but you're retired, right? I mean, you're retired.
Very, very much so,
yeah.
Yes.
So when the markets go like this,
like,
does it, are you still like in that buy and hold, I'm chilling, or does that actually like get your attention?
Something's happened.
Stop it.
I am not one to knee-jerk on that sort of thing. I almost never checked my portfolio because, you know, I trust my advisor, and even more so, I trust my wife, who, you know, pretty much runs the show, and deservedly and gratefully so. But lately I have been taking a look at what the grand total is, and we seem to have backslid a bit in the last couple of weeks. But if you're asking if I'm pushing the panic button, no.
No. That's good.
Not yet.
I mean, it is market. Listen, we all lived through 07, 08, 09 and beyond, and then the pandemic too. I mean, things always tend to bounce back.
Well,
so.
Yeah. And you know, you just, all you can do is roll with the punches, really. I mean, 07, 08, I saw pay cuts coming. And, you know, I said to my wife at the time, I said, the trend in the industry is, you know, for people to be offered less money.
Right.
And at that time, it happened. And what was my alternative? I do windows. I mean,
I'm the same thing.
That's about it.
I'm like an indoor cat at this point. Like you, I go outside, I die. You know what I mean? Like it's just not. It's not going to be pretty.
You know, I was pretty good at doing windows and trimming, you know, shrubbery around the house.
No, but it speaks to the point though that you love what you did, and you really, you could have done other things, but you really never wanted to.
Not really. I mean, you know, I there was a point years ago where I, you know, got kind of fed up with some stuff and looked around and sniffed around and realized that I have it pretty good, and I did. And, you know, why screw up a good thing?
Yeah.
And that's why I never left Connecticut either. I mean, I don't need to go to a bigger market to prove anything to anybody.
Well, I think there's a lot of people in this market who are good enough to be in bigger places.
Oh, sure.
Who make that decision. And because it's, if you want quality of life, you know, the young people think it's boring as all get out, and I get that. But if you want quality of life, Connecticut's a pretty awesome place.
Oh, it's a great place to be. And, you know, we have friends out in California who are putting up with earthquakes, fires, and, you know, all kinds of destruction. I have friends in Arizona who have to flee in the summer because it's so hot. And I, you know, at this stage of our lives, Bri, if we don't know at least 2 dozen people who live in Florida,
yeah.
And you know, they have
so
to.
So you won't be, you won't like leave?
No. No, we thought about it and, you know, we discussed it and we, you know, we looked for a second place in Florida for a little bit before we came to our senses and said, if we want to go down there for a little while,
you
we'll
can.
Rent something.
Yeah, yeah.
Or we'll freeload off of the 2 dozen people we know.
which is nice, too.
Never for more than 2 or 3 days at a time.
Listen, we're going to talk. I want to talk some Red Sox with you. Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit of golf with you and a bunch of other stuff. Jerry Brooks, if you got a question for him, you can always shoot me a note, too. Jerry Brooks, the great Jerry Brooks.
Can I interject one thing?
Yes.
Thank you. As I was pulling in this morning, you know, about a half hour ago or so, I heard you explain that when the sun is out, it gets warmer. And I just wanted to congratulate you on your meteorological analysis. And the way you explained it made it so understandable. That
don't laugh at him.
Honestly,
that was good. He's serious.
Tears welled in my eyes to hear such journalistic prowess and to take a really intricate subject and boil it down to its essence. All I can say is...
Yeah. You know, and other stations in other markets, they shorten up cuss words.
Yes.
To avoid FCC, like they'll say, you know, I won't say it because I don't want to go there.
Of course,
because I'm above that.
No, you're not.
But my point is, in the spring, yeah. Like it's just. The sun is way more impactful for...
He's actually doing
the sun's
it
warmer, he's right.
Yeah. He's such a...
The efficacy of the sun is much greater in the spring.
I can't stand this guy. I don't even know why I invite him in.
I don't either.
I don't know why I do this to myself, but I do nonetheless. Hey, are you... I mean, listen, since you're sitting on the rocking chair yelling at the TV all day... are you into the Red Sox? I'm not talking to him. I'm talking to you.
I don't sit in the rocking chair all day.
No, but Jerry does, yelling at the TV.
Get off my lawn.
10 minutes to Wapner. I have to fight back, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
I have
yeah,
to fight
man.
Back.
Yeah, he drew first blood.
Are you into the Red Sox or no?
I am.
Yeah?
I am. I was happy to see them spend some money. I will be happy to see Bregman play third base. And
wait, it's hard to like Devers right
Devers
now.
Devers at DH. Well... You know,
it's hard.
Devers has a problem. I have total respect and admiration for the guy's hitting prowess, not so much on the defensive side, but and this is his absolute right. He's the face of the franchise, but you don't hear them that often because he hasn't taken a page out of the David Ortiz playbook. And Ortiz, I think, understood how big he would be if he spoke English more. And this is not a political discussion. I
right.
don't mean it to be. But David Ortiz knew that bringing out his personality in English would make him a very rich man, which it did beyond the baseball field. And, you know, Devers makes an insane amount of money and chooses not to. And I respect that.
Well, I mean, from my standpoint, I don't think it's that risky per se. What I think is it... It's like, if you want to be that way, then go play in Kansas City. You know, like in Boston, we need more. And
yeah.
like, if you're going to get paid that much, like I was always saying this, and it was the same. Like with, it's a little different with Brad Marchand's not a natural captain or leader. He's an awesome guy, super popular, but he's like, he's not the guy who should be the face of the franchise. Devers should not be the face of the franchise. He's not a leader. He doesn't want to be a leader.
No, he doesn't.
And so that's the problem. And whether he understands English perfectly.
Yeah.
Because when he wants to respond, he can respond. Because when he said, you know, it was said in English, you know, do you want to play somewhere else? He's like, no, I'm, you know.
I'm the third baseman.
Right. And so, I mean, it's obvious that there's an understanding there. I think that this whole thing is, I mean, he hasn't played, right? I mean, he hasn't.
No,
on the field.
He's had a slow start.
No, he says he's hurt and this and that. I think they're setting it up where they're...
Well, the most important thing is he may be hurt, but he's not Giancarlo Stanton hurt.
You see him banging on. Well, Devers, by the way, according to Matt, supposed to play on Wednesday for the first time. Who knows if he'll be ready for opening day. Yeah, we're going to have John Seneca. We're going to have a fan base podcast drop later today.
A must listen, by the way.
It is pretty good. Yeah. John loves it. I mean, you know, I guess, you know, because he's not he was never an in front of the camera guy. Mm-mm. And, you know, he just loves the fact that he can talk about.
And he's much prettier than I am. So, you know, he has every right to be on camera.
Yeah. You did it. You did all right, Jerry.
Well, I had hair then.
Yeah. And the mustache was something.
Well.
It was something.
Oh, it was iconic.
Thank you.
If you ever saw it up close, I mean, it's, you know, sure. It was something.
I'm sure.
Well, yeah, how thin,
probably had its
thin,
own agent.
At its thinnest. I mean, like.
Yeah.
You went just a little bit.
That was a huge mistake. I never meant for it to get that thin, and I just slipped with the razor one day, and I had to even it out, and then I was
off to the races.
Know, couldn't really grow it out. But my only real mustache story is when I did take a chunk out of it, when I was doing weekend news at Channel 3, I came into work with, you know, 3/4 of a mustache, and I looked at Gail King, who was my co-anchor then, and I said, "What do I do?" And she goes, "Oh, that's simple." And she took out her mascara and just painted the, you know, the chunk in because, you know, my hair was black. And it worked out great. And when it started getting gray, I would ask Gail and eventually Joanne Nesty and my wife, whenever you think you're done with your tube of with your tube of mascara,
send it my way.
Give it to me because I can get another 6 months out of it just coloring in the stash.
Nice. That's some good inside
there
scoop.
There you go.
Yeah. Good inside scoop. We're going to have Eric Semmel and Tech Tuesday Tab Computer coming up in about 2 minutes. Let's go to Mark Christopher in the Brown Pandeiras and Sky Traffic Center. Hey, Mark.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, this is Mark's. He's got a makeup story here.
Shocky.
5 in the morning and I walk in and I've never put makeup on in my life. And I go, I look to Shackman for a little help and he goes, "Oh, don't worry, just slap it on." I think I got more on my shirt than I did on my face. I had no clue.
We had the prison sink in that bathroom. Right? It was a prison sink and we both got to put our makeup on. I was like, some consultant came in and told me how to do it. I was like, I just slap her on as much as I humanly can and I go out there. And he said, "Okay, I'm off to the
Do you guys miss the birds flying around the studio? They're like, you don't get that in that studio where we are now. Remember that in the old NBC?
No,
remember the birds flying around in the ceiling?
Yeah, the birds would fly around. Yep. And one morning when I did mornings at Channel 3, there was a bat in the newsroom.
Oh, there you go.
And the great Frankie Santana came up to the newsroom with a 2x4, and then there wasn't one.
There was no longer a bat. Well,
oh,
that
God.
Old building for NBC 30 was...
Ooh, scary.
It was a bunker.
It was awful.
Bomb shelter.
Yeah,
it was. I hope Jerry Griswold isn't listening right now.
Why?
About the bat. The bat
story.
Oh,
I know.
Oh, man.
She's going to come to your house.
No, yeah, I know. And bats are very good for us.
No, but she likes them more than people.
Yeah.
She'll come after you. Oh,
Jerry, in the old days, when Jerry was doing a traffic report, she would have a baby bat on her shoulder while she was doing a report. She'd be feeding him mealworms while she was talking on the radio. Never seen anything like that before.
We just got a minute here. This is not something we talked about before, but I really struggle to find decent places to get news. Like CNN on the air is hit or miss, and I thought their website did a decent job if they're having analysis or opinion, at least it's kind of labeled. But then half their stuff is subscription-based.
Mm.
Twitter is like a mess.
And I used to love Twitter because, especially in its younger days, when I was working, the first thing I would do in the morning is, you know, just breeze through the Twitter feed,
yep,
and I would immediately know the headlines in news, weather, and sports. And then I would go more in depth with,
sure,
you know, newspapers and everything else. But I go through my Twitter feed now, and it's like, you know, trying to run in quicksand. And eventually I, you know, but, you know, Threads and Blue Sky have yet to really catch on as a major alternative.
Well, because Twitter became Twitter because it was an organic growth story.
Yeah.
Threads and Blue Sky are like they're trying to manufacture competition, and it's hard to do that in a space that's really mature at this point. But what do you do? I know you read The Current, but I mean, like, what do you just, are you newspaper based and you just
I've always been newspaper based. You know, so in order I go the Current, The Globe, and then the Washington Post and New York Times. And you know, it's like looking at different weather apps. I'll average them out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, find a common denominator, average them out, and take it from there. The one thing that I have never watched and never will watch is any of the talking heads on any of the cable news channels, whether it's Fox, MSNBC, or CNN. I don't need them. I think they pollute the air.
Jerry Brooks, the great Jerry Brooks, joining us here on Brian & Company. We do have to pay the bills here for a couple minutes, and we'll be back for an extended conversation with Jerry right here on Brian & Company and WTIC News Talk 1080. Yeah, you knew it lacked conviction. I wonder what the markets will be like by 10 a.m. Now that it's like the bounce back is now 0.1% in the Dow, 0.13% in the S&P, 0.18% in the NASDAQ. It just feels like we're in one of those phases where it's just a little bit.
I'm sure there are going to be a lot of people who are very nervous. I'll be at the probably on the median in front of, say, the entrance to Nordstrom Rack with the sign in my hand and a cup.
You won't. Are you you're golfing?
I am, not right now, but you know, they're in the car if you want to play through.
My son is so into golf right now. He wants to
he
wants to work in it. He's trying hard to make JV golf. It's his goal. He's never had a lesson in his life, which
lessons are good.
I probably should get him a lesson.
Yeah, especially in golf. You know, just to get a clue and get pointed in the right direction.
But it's
one of my best friends is a golf pro, John Dobilsky. He was the pro at Tallwood for many, many years and an excellent teacher, among many others. I'm plugging him.
Tallwood's he does just on his own now? He's not with
he's retired, and you know, he'll still give a lesson or two to a friend.
But then you screw up your swing and you got to figure out how to fix. Like, I just feel like if I had to change something, that I would like just do it for a day and then go back to what I always
start
do.
Fresh every year. Every year I learn something new and the grip is different or the swing is different. But at this stage of the game, you know, I am who I am. I got okay. I broke 80 a few times. You know, I shot in the 70s three or four times and I thought, this is it.
And then what happened?
Oh, I backslid into the 90s and, you know.
Golf and baseball, I find, if you look at the pros, they're so good, but yet they always, like, you can't perfect it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's impossible to. So they're all, like, if you're a lifelong learner, then they're great sports for you because you can't stop practicing. Because if you do, you'll stop being good.
Well, the thing is, too, I do practice a lot, but in golf, there's nothing like, you always have a chance to hit a great shot. And when you do, it's a great feeling. It really is. Or make a nice putt, long putt or something. I always agreed with Ted Williams. The hardest thing to do in sports is, you know, hit a baseball.
Yeah.
Thrown by a major league pitcher.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. I mean, I think the sports are, and I like them because they're like life lesson-y sports. Like, failure is such a huge part of the sport.
Oh, for heaven's sake, I grew up in the Boston area. Who are you telling failures?
Yeah, I know. The thing is that the Red Sox, it's funny because my wife and I go to opening day. I haven't, even 07 and 13 and 18, after 04, I was like I'm good.
You're done?
Yeah, like I don't, so like unless there's a lot of people that are really compelling, like 13 was great because it came out of such tragedy.
Yeah, you know, the marathon bombing, and you had a bunch of guys like Johnny Gomes and Mike Napoli who could respond to that. And Poppy, they knew how to...
They fed off
They
it.
Knew
yeah.
how to lift yeah. the city, which was fabulous. But 04 was kind of a sacred thing.
It was incredible.
It was a sacred thing.
Can you believe that's 21 years ago? I mean, did you watch the documentary, I don't know, the three-part... thing that the Barnacle
I've
brothers...
I've got it on my watch list.
You got to watch it.
I haven't watched it yet, and I have this new Celtic series to watch as well.
Oh, the one from...
Bill Simmons.
Yeah.
Yes. Boston's fan. Boston's official fan, Bill Simmons.
How do you rank your... Because I always thought you were Red Sox... Is it go Red Sox, Celtics, Bruins, Patriots? Or you don't even care about the Bruins and Patriots?
Red Sox, Celtics, Patriots, Bruins. I was more of a basketball guy than a hockey guy.
Yeah, Celtics, I mean, I grew up in the Bird era, so, like, it's just, I was always big. I don't like the way, they're so good, but I don't like the way they play now, so it's hard for me because
When the Celtics are playing well, they're a pleasure to watch. They move the ball. They are very unselfish. Every now and then, you know, Tatum or Brown might lapse into hero ball, which rarely works, but I think, from an NBA standpoint, they can be a real pleasure to watch.
Do you think, do you watch the Celtics like all the time?
Yeah, if there's a game on, I'll either monitor the score if my wife and I are watching something else, or if there's nothing else to watch, yeah, I'll always tune it on.
I just don't like the game. Like,
no, I understand.
I don't like the game.
Well, let me add a caveat. I never watch the game without my iPad in my lap.
Because I like the way Hurley coaches the game. You know, I mean, I like... Well, you talk about ball movement. Like, I like when they play basketball. When the Celtics hoist up 55 threes, it drives me bananas.
That's today's NBA.
Hey, the last thing, we talked about this off mic, but I think it bears repeating.
Sun warm, night cool.
Yeah, that's okay. I wanted to get that straight. I thought it made sense to say because it's like springtime because like the air itself isn't that warm.
Right.
I thought it made some sense.
Well, tell me what bears repeating.
No, I don't. I can't remember what we were talking on or off microphone. I'm just looking at we had someone on from Bloomberg, and
oh, I heard her. She was very good.
Yeah, she was good. And I feel like I think Bloomberg's kind of neutral.
I think so.
And I'm trying to think. And I think CNBC is not bad. I mean,
yeah, we'll see. Now we're going to find out what happens with CNBC and MSNBC. And all of the NBC cable networks, except for Bravo, are being spun off into a new company.
So MSNBC has to come up with its own news gathering.
They do. They have to have their own news gathering operation. And are they going to let them use the name MSNBC or CNBC for that matter?
I just don't know if it's from a strict business standpoint. I don't know if it's worth it for them to do that. It costs a lot of money to run a news operation.
Yeah, I know.
And I just don't see that the demand is there for what they do unless they can sell people on actually doing the news, which I think would take years to convince people that they would do the news the way people, you know, like some people just want the news. Fewer and fewer people are like that, but...
And too many people believe whatever comes out of the mouth of the talk show hosts, whether it's... You know, Rachel Maddow or Sean Hannity. You know, too many people believe every last word that comes out of their mouths, which isn't healthy.
Now, you don't even consume the talking heads,
as
you said.
No,
so,
I don't.
I mean, when did it... I mean, was Fox News the turn that changed everything? Like, we couldn't really... I couldn't ascertain bias in Peter Jennings, Brokaw.
No, nor could I.
I mean, but there could have been, right?
There could have been. Hey, Walter Cronkite, who is revered as
a newsman.
Yes, the newsman's newsman, the anchor's anchor. He ended the Vietnam War with his opinion. Really?
Now, would he inject?
You know, LBJ was the one who, well, we lost Cronkite. We're, you know, or was it Nixon? I'm sorry. I forget.
But is it the type of thing where he would inject it in the way his intros were written? Or did he actually do like op-eddy kind of closes to the show?
Did something in an op-eddy mode regarding the Vietnam War. And the president, I can't remember if it was Nixon or LBJ, said, if we've lost Cronkite, we've lost the war.
Wow. And now Lester Holt's, I think Lester Holt finishes.
Classy guy.
Really good guy.
Classy guy. And, you know, I knew it would be Yamas. I thought Hallie Jackson, who used to work at Channel 3, had an outside shot. I thought maybe they'd pair them as an anchor team. Because, you know, national news seems more and more local with every passing day, the newscasts, that I thought maybe they would co-anchor. But they're both very talented.
Yeah, they're good. I mean, Yamas worked his way up. He was like the weekend guy at WNBC.
He
was at WNBC, yeah. And he really worked his way up. And obviously, it doesn't hurt that he's super handsome and he's bilingual and a lot of other things.
Oh, you don't see me in him?
Well, we'll pull out the 1976 photos.
Trust me, you won't see me in him.
Mr. Carter.
Yeah, right.
It's great to see you, Jerry.
Always good to be with you.
Glad you're doing well. And again, a great, he'll be self-deprecating, mentor to me for my career.
Brings me out of mothballs every now and then.
It's good. Yeah, we'll trot you out there every now and then.